Watch what happens. Watch what happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that happens?
Happens.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker, also of the Game Brain podcast. Go check it out. I'm on this week's episode talking about board games and stuff like that. It's super cool. And I talk like that the entire episode. Just kidding. And joining me is the wonderful and hilarious Ronnie Karam. What's going on, Ronnie?
Well, hi, Ben.
How are you today? How are you?
How are you, babe?
How are you?
I'm doing good. Everything's just great.
Great. It's Friday. We made it. We only have a few days left, actually, until our Golden Crappy Awards, which is really exciting. We've already kind of let some of the cats out of the bag that we have, as usual. I mean, every year we do this, but as usual, we have some of our friends who will be joining us on the show in some form or another. So we have like Michelle Collins, Naira Madison, Danny Pellegrino, Brian Moylan, Lara Shanehalls from Sexy New Podcast, Two Judgy Girls. Lots of, I'm missing others. Jackie Schimmel, you know, lots of podcasters, etc. I'm sorry if I didn't mention you. I don't have my list all in front of me, okay? There's so many, including my best friend slash daughter, Avery, okay? Just kidding. Avery will not be on the Crappies. That is something that we can say. There will be no Avery Singer. But the point is this. It's going to be super fun. It's going to be a great, fun virtual show. And it's going to be next Thursday. That's January 21st. It's going to be at 6 o'clock on the West Coast, 9 o'clock on the East Coast. You can go to watchacrappens.com, and there are links to both the ballot if you haven't voted, and there's also links, more importantly, to tickets so you can watch the show. It really is going to be so fun, and the crazy part is all those names that we mentioned, there's so many more, so much more than just that, which is going to, it's insane right now, Madison. It's insane. I mean, you're wearing wedges to the Crappies to get my attention, Madison.
Oh, Southern Charm. Yeah, go get your tickets for the Crappy Awards. Just go to watchwhatcrappens.com. You can find ticket links there. You can also find links to vote. The vote is very important. So go vote. So that's that. And today is a very special day because it's the beginning of a two-part finale on Southern Charm.
Yeah, it's the penultimate episode of the season, but they tried to make it seem like it was the ultimate episode of the season, split in two. But it's really just the penultimate, okay? It was, as it is the part one of the two-part finale, they therefore gave the previously this season on Southern Charm, which meant that we got like lots of variations on Trixie Monocle doing the opening music, because we had Craig saying, "Once upon a time in Charleston, Austin and Madison were in love," and we hear it's like echoey but loving.
Yeah, it's like fairy music, kind of like and Thomas and Catherine were getting along.
And then it goes, and even Shep, and you see Shep playing tennis, and he goes, "Gosh!" Even Shep has a girlfriend. And I was like, "Babadoo!" Still fairy tale Babadoos.
And then on the captions it says, "Shep goshes in slow motion."
And I was on track to be the male Martha Stewart. And then Trixie gets crazy. She goes, "Papa D, She like goes dark. It's like that moment on Mr. Toad's Wild Ride when this like pleasant little, you know, children's ride at Disney World, suddenly you get plunged into literal hell on the ride, and you're like, "Wait, why am I in hell on a children's ride right now?" That's what happened to Trixie Monocle.
Yeah, I think it was because Martha Stewart actually jumped into the sound booth and strangled the fuck out of Trixie Monocle for Craig daring to compare himself to Martha Stewart. Like,
it's a good thing.
I've been around for decades, sir. Okay. I've got more than a few pillows and I know Snoop Dogg. So watch yourself.
If you think it was not Martha Stewart, it was Colin Cowie. He's like, I'm the man, Martha Stewart. Although that's not how he talks at all, actually. I just remembered. He's Dorinda's friend. So he's like, I'm the male Martha Stewart. There, that's better. So he continues on. But of course, some of those things were too good to be true. And then you see, Thomas had a baby. Like Trixie's now like on an acid trip.
Meanwhile, Shep's old friend Pringle moved into town, proving there is such a thing as a sexy single dad.
Okay, were we all thinking that there was no such thing as a sexy single dad? Like, is this really what the show is proving to us this year?
Do you not watch the Hallmark Channel? Have you ever seen their movies? Sexy single dad who has a dog.
Yeah, with a failing business that needs some like uptight white lady from the big city to come in and try to steal. fall in love.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we all know this is what we've learned about single dads from the Hallmark Channel. They have failing businesses, they're sexy, they have dogs, and their dogs are on unreasonably long leashes that get tangled up with potentially other dogs or women who have groceries.
Yes. And they're really good at walking in snow. And everyone has like a long-haired like German Shepherd or something, even though they have to walk in 3 feet of fake snow every day.
Yeah, and they look sort of like...
so much with that channel. I need to explain.
And they vaguely, like in their off time, they kind of dress like Mike Rowe from Dirty Jobs.
Yeah. We had the Hallmark Channel on during Christmas because, you know, I'm around family and that's the only thing you can really watch around the kids. And every 2 seconds, I was like, Oh, let me guess. She's going to be really mean to him in the office and he's going to not like her because she's too snooty. Happens. Oh, let me guess. They're going to run into each other at a chocolate shop and realize that they're both just humans. Happens. And then finally, my niece is like, Uncle, how many times have you seen this movie? I'm like, oh, honey, you'll be seeing this movie the rest of your life.
Exactly. So we're just getting basically greatest hits of the season. And I was happy because we got also a call back to Foghorn Leghorn, the governor, saying, I declare a state of emergency for South Carolina. And that, my friends, was the lights went out in Georgia, which is a different state. But I feel like it must be mentioned, I reckon.
And just like that, the world changed before our eyes. But Catherine Calhoun Dennis remained oblivious.
And then Trixie says, you got 15 minutes, better make it 45. I'm like, wait a second, Trixie, bringing in a new lyric 6 seasons later. You have to do a variation on Bop-a-doo, okay? Not some 15 minutes, 45 minutes commentary, okay?
Yeah.
No new content.
And a racially insensitive DM got her fired from Gwyn's, put her at odds with Leva, and sparked a war with her best friend Danny. Not to mention raised a few eyebrows at the timing of her new romance.
Better make it 45. Bye, 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 bye. Whoa, the kids got loco.
COVID proved to be the death knell for Madison and Austin. Okay, you know what? Can we just use better terminology? This is a pandemic. People.
Yeah, exactly. And so I surprised it's so I suppose it's no surprise that we all got back together again. This happened. I broke another finger. No, Craig, they fought that too.
I drank a bottle of my own Zinfandel. So then we go back to the fight on the boat, on the ferry last week, with Leva being like, you sound like a dick, and she's being attacked by every woman on this boat, and Leva being like, you shut the fuck up, you shut the fuck up, you know nothing, Madison.
You know nothing, Madison, or other friend of Madison.
Yeah, we know that girl's name, Madison, is not Gwyn, okay? We call her Gwyn's because there's two Madisons, okay?
Yeah.
And so we picked the job of the other one. It would be either calling Madison from Gwyn's, Gwyn's, or calling Madison from the hair shop, Hair.
Okay? Also, it's funny to just call her Gwyn's. I don't know why, because she sort of has Gwyn energy, and on top of that, she's like, she has a built-in possessive when we called her Gwyn's.
Yeah. So we open with everybody getting ready. It's very fancy. Craig's in the shower, and Leva is at home with the kid in his little car. And look, I feel most for Leva, I think, in this entire show. Leva's the only one having to deal with a little kid day in and day out. Every time we see Leva, it's like, oh, you want a piece of toast? Oh, my God, you want a chicken nugget? Oh, my God, you want to drive in your car? Let the woman leave, please. Get her grandmother over there.
I know, seriously. Leva, I also feel bad because she has this like beautifully appointed house with all these Pinterest qualities to it. And then she's given her toddler the world's largest toddler vehicle thing, you know, where, you know, those like little friend, like Flintstone cars that toddlers drive around, which is like really cool. But like the entire time I'd be like Sheree Whitfield be like, baseboards. Like, like if I ever have a child, which will never happen, they are not getting a giant car that they can motor around in on my house. No, siree, not with my walls.
Yeah.
Walls are out.
Yeah, well, it's like you have a beautiful house and bam, bam, and you know that car yeah, came exactly. from the mother. That's like totally a grandparent gift because grandparents are like, fuck it, it's my kid's house. Let's see how she likes it with a mini car running into her walls all the time. You know, it's like the parents' revenge getting the grandchildren just horrible, annoying thing.
It's true. And by the way, last week we didn't mention this and I actually noticed it and wrote a note about it and decided I don't have to comment on every stupid thing I see. LOL, as we're 10 minutes in and we haven't made it through the first like second of the show. But last week, Leva burned the fuck out of some chicken and then everyone was talking about it online and I felt like I really failed as a podcaster by not bringing up the burnt chicken. So I just want to reference the fact that Leva did burn some chicken last week and it was we expect more from you, Leva. We want
what was it, burned or grilled? I mean, you never know.
It looked like it was grilled. It was burned on the grill, to be honest. It did not look, it was, you know, she's a restaurateur. We expect more.
Well, the owner, you know, I don't want to eat anything cooked by McDonald's. You know what I mean? It's like it's the people that you hire.
The Burger King himself is not who we want on the grill.
Yeah. The Burger King is not who you want making your Whopper.
That's fair. Guy. That's fair. Okay, that's fair.
Well, I'm better than you because I actually skipped it and I'm fine. I was going to talk about Craig's shower nozzle. And then I was like, you know what?
Do it. That's a rental. You know what? Do it. Let it out.
No,
let it out.
I'm not going to because I'm a bigger person than that.
It's a rental.
I'm just kidding.
You're not going
to
shame the landlords. If he had bought it himself, we would have a discussion, but it's not really his, not his fault.
No, actually, I really loved it. Okay, so let's see here. So Patricia, who this is all she really does in the show, she's carrying around her giant iPad, and she's like, Whitney, could you help me? The phone number she told me to use is on the green thing. You meet the chat, mother? That's the messages.
Messages, that's right. Messages.
And he's just as fuddy duddy as her because he's like, well, let's see. Now you're on Instagram, so let me figure this out. Okay. You know, neither one of you knows how to swipe your fingers. Let's stop acting like one of you is like, you know, wandering around town on a skateboard with a, you know, rock band and some bubble gum. Oh, wait, one of you is.
I mean, they're just in the wrong era. They should be in Downton Abbey. Like, you know, in Downton Abbey, every episode, they just like dress up and just convene in the parlor and then they just sit there and they talk in the parlor and then they go to sleep. That's really what they are meant to be doing.
Yes.
Not dealing with iPads and things like that.
Yeah. Downton Abbey, the COVID show before COVID. It's like, well, we're stuck here together. I guess we'll get dressed up and meet in the talking area. What'd you call it?
It's like the parlor. The ladies play cards and the man stand in the corner and they're like all in tuxedos. Because it's 4 o'clock, you know. I feel like that would actually be secretly Whitney's dream. As much as he talks about Renob and being a rocker, I think his dream is really to get into a tuxedo at 4 o'clock and just like have martinis with his mother in a parlor. And honestly, I'm not mad at that. That's kind of my dream too.
I don't know that I need to be stuck in a parlor with my mother for 3 hours just talking, you know.
It's not that you need to be. It's just that is it your destiny?
No. I mean, I love the woman and everything, but no. So Austin gets out of it. Yeah, I'm fighting it. So listen, I've already become her. Okay. I don't need to become her in a parlor with her. So Austin gets out of bed. That's this episode, by the way, everybody. If you're wondering, why are they still talking about them getting ready in the morning? Because that's what this episode is. So just buckle tight. So Austin's getting out of bed. And now the rest of this montage goes. Austin tries to figure out how a dry cleaner works.
Mm-hmm.
And then we come to somebody
else. A
hair dryer. What did I say?
Dry cleaner, but probably that too. We just didn't make it to the show. This is insane. So I just give you my clothes? Are you insane? Are you insane right now?
Why are you putting plastic on my clothes? You're going to suffocate my shorts.
They put a skinny person in my shirt. Like, that's a hanger. It's not. That's a person.
So then we cut between him not doing the hair dryer right to everybody else getting up. Madison's just sitting there staring at her phone while meditation music plays. And then Shep is calling his girlfriend and she's like, do you know where little Craig is? He's like, yeah, Craig is at Three Dogs. Oh my God, you scared me. I thought Craig was stolen.
Okay. Little Craig is not like Lindbergh's child. Okay.
I don't think a Frenchie though. People love a dog with breathing disorders. I don't know what it is about America, but we sure do.
I would be more concerned about Big Craig getting abducted. So Shep is like, oh gosh, my trainer gave me Cialis. I'm feeling good. He said it would improve blood flow. Gosh. I'm like, what trainer is giving you any sort of pills? That's not right.
Yeah, that's all we need is Shep running around with a boner that never goes down.
I thought that was Shep.
Yeah, I always feel really bad with trophy wives and trophy husbands because, you know, and I heard this, actually some rich girl said it. I don't know who said this. I heard this somewhere, but they were like, yeah, they used to just die at 50, you know, or just stop having sex with you. But now because of medical advances, they just live forever. And now they've got boners for 12 hours.
Well, you got to be Anna Nicole. You got to come in late. You got to come in late in the process. I will say this though about Cialis is that it probably is a good way to get Shep into a bathtub.
What does that mean? Like to jerk it?
No, the Cialis commercials is always like a man in a bathtub and a woman in a bathtub, and they hold hands from their separate bathtubs. That's like,
oh, for Christ's sake. That's actually my dream life. I would be in a relationship if that were a thing, just being in separate bathtubs. It's like, hey, you want to go on a date and he's like in the next restaurant over, but you can still see each other from the window and wave.
Yeah, no, all the commercials, they like set up, they'll be like these two bathtubs on like a mountaintop, like looking out over the world in bathtubs.
Now, I don't know that I need a bathtub in a mountaintop. But I need to stop taking Cialis too. So isn't that the one where they they're super like depressed old people, but then they start banging and then like they're happy in the end?
I just remember the bathtub is really the striking part of the narrative that sticks with me. I don't know. I mean, I think that pretty much all those commercials promise that. Like, I think the rule of thumb is if it's old people slow dancing and smiling, it's erectile dysfunction commercial. If there is a hot air balloon, then it's an allergy commercial.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought this was for like social anxiety or something.
Cialis?
Yeah.
Oh, well. I mean, who knows? I mean, taking Cialis may reduce your social anxiety for different reasons.
I don't know. I mean, personally, I can't wait for my penis to stop working. I'm like, can I choose that? That thing is such a pest. My God. It's like, Jesus, what else do you need?
Well, maybe you could just watch Southern Charm enough that your penis will just retire.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the penis doesn't really have taste. So, there's a ring, and now Shep is talking to Pringle on the phone while he drives, and he's like, oh, I didn't get a chance to chat at the party at Capers. Was it really intense? I never really pay attention to things, you know.
Yeah, and Pringle's like, yeah, well, I was sitting next to Catherine, and I feel like it got a little dramatic for her, you know. Hey, put that away. No, out. Put in the back seat. No, put that down. No, you can't have that. No, stop throwing spam at your brother. No, stop it.
How long are the boys in town? He's like, oh, they're leaving tomorrow. You know, I'm just going to be a mess about it. A mess. I just want to be with them all the time, which is why I moved thousands of miles away from them.
Yeah. So then we see him at home with Quinn and Asher, who are just like on their iPads and stuff. And Pringle's trying to talk to them. He's like, oh, well, you said it's your last day. I mean, Summer of Dad is coming to a close, right? 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 And they're just like fully ignoring him.
You're stupid. He's like, well, come on, kids. Do you hear me? Come on. I want to talk about it. Dad's sad. You know, at the same time, it's been Mr. Toad's Wild Ride, which Ben brought up in the opening of this show. Whoa, full circle with Dad. This is called Full Circle with Dad.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's why that got into my brain.
And he's like, Mr. you want to tell me what my favorite part of the summer was? And they're like, your butt. It actually was not my, it was going to the beach, kids. And they're like, nobody cares, stupid.
Pretty much. And they're just like strangling each other on the sofa and everything. And he's talking about how it's hard to say goodbye, and moving to Charleston was like the hardest thing he had to do, but he needed to do it because he needed to build a much better future for his kids in Charleston. I don't really understand what that means. Is it because of TV show?
He doesn't have anything to inherit in California. That's what he means. You think he actually means building something? He means accepting somebody when somebody dies. He has a better chance of accepting something when somebody dies in Charleston. I mean, if your name is Pringle and you're famous in Charleston, but in California, you're just a carb. You know what I mean?
That's true.
Like, no one's going to respect your ass in California. Yeah, hell yeah. Bye, kids. Sorry.
Yeah, back to – he's got to accept his destiny, which is a house on the Battery.
Yeah. Commercials. Here comes one right now. So Madison walks into Austin's house, and Austin's like, whoa, come in like you own the place.
You're so stupid. You're stupid. Yeah. And she's like, I know. Look at me. I'm here. So she's there. This is like after the whole party thing where she was so mad, and she's like, well, you seem so somber. And he's like, well, imagine that, Madison. Imagine that. Why are you even here? It's insane right now.
Well, I feel really bad about my party because I reacted that way, and it was fucked up, but I was mad.
He's like, yeah, you just clarified that. And he's like, okay, you know what? I'm standing up to you. I'll get you a glass of wine. Get comfortable.
So she says that she has regrets about Capers, the island, not the delicious little thing. And she's like, well, I was a bitch, and you know, Austin doesn't bring out the best in me, and I was upset, and I had a bad attitude because of it, and I should have just taken my 5 deep breaths and been a big girl and not said anything. To which I say, no. No, he was uninvited, and he showed up, and he ruined your mood, and it's not up to, like, why is it that she has to take her deep breaths, but Austin, there's no obligation for Austin to. I mean, yes, theoretically, in the world of in life, it's always better to take the high road. And like, yes, it probably would have been nicer for everyone involved if she was just like, you know, she can only control your actions, so she should have been the bigger person. Theoretically, yes. I guess I just get annoyed because there's none of this that is put on Austin that like, maybe he should have been less of an asshole when he showed up, or maybe he should have just not come because he was uninvited.
I can't even believe you're standing up for anybody in this couple after watching this scene. This is the most obnoxious fucking scene, and this is why two idiots should just stay quarantined forever with each other and leave the rest of us alone. You know, it's like they have this huge thing, and then she goes back over to kind of reel him back in.
Yeah, she should not have gone back over.
He's like, do you want me to date other people? And she goes, no. Well, that's not fair, Madison. Well, do you want to see people date me? He's like, no, but I told you I'm still in love with you. She's like, well, I'm sorry, but I'm never going to go say date someone else. I love hate you. Like, I hate you the majority of the time, but I love you more than anyone else. So if you're asking for permission to date, you don't have it. Well, okay. Then, you know. These two are so annoying. I'm not standing up for either one of these two.
Yeah, I'm not saying that they are not annoying. They're terrible. And she is as much of a guilty party in this, in that she goes back to him to have this conversation. Like, the whole point why she uninvited him was theoretically because she needed to draw a line and create space. So then the fact that she goes over to have a conversation, it shows like that she actually had no interest in that. She likes playing petty games. He likes playing petty games, etc. I'm just saying, I feel like it's obnoxious that Austin gets to go through life without like any sort of obligation to say to himself, I should be the bigger person, whereas Madison does have to feel that way. And I think that's bullshit, even though even in the context of a bullshit couple.
When does she have to say I'm the bigger person?
Well, she just said it. She said I should have been the bigger person. She said I should have taken my deep breaths and been a big girl at the party.
Oh my gosh. She had a party that she was having for his birthday and invited all of his friends, basically. I mean, they're her friends now too, but invited all of their friends and then decided that the time she was going to ignore him was at this party and get him kicked out of shooting for like one of the final things. And then, if that didn't piss him off enough, she spends the rest of the time being like, Pringle, come sit next to me, Pringle. Oh, you're so good looking, Pringle. I mean, come on.
But she uninvited him. It was still her party. They broke up. So she was like, I'm not going to have this. This is no longer your birthday party. This is a party for me. She did that. And then he still came anyway, even after she uninvited him. And then he's wondering why he's being received so negatively. I'm like, it's insane, Austin, that you don't understand this right now.
He's like, so there's no resolution. She's like,
I don't know what to tell you. So I'll just tell you what I normally tell you. Shut up, stupid. Oh, God, that felt good. Okay, see you later.
And Austin's like, I think I've realized she just likes control. She likes me up against the ropes. I'm like, you're just realizing this now? Just now, 3 years later?
Yeah, you wouldn't be Austin. Up against the ropes all the time if you weren't such a bad boxer. So Danny drives, and Shep gives her a call, and he's like, so, I was with Pringle, and we went to a break room. That's where we smash stuff like Real Housewives. And then we see a clip of them that goes way too long, smashing things in the smash room.
Pringle being dangerous, too. He's like throwing hammers against the wall. I'm not going to a break room with him. I'm never going to go one of those break room things anyway.
Well, I mean, these two are so privileged. It's the only break room they've ever been in. You know? He's like, it's like office space. Oh,
gosh. So Pringle's family friend has a house on John's Island with a dock and a pool. Gosh. And I want to have a party there and everyone can wear a redneck outfit. Gosh. So Danny's like, who's coming? And so now Shep has to break the news.
Yeah, it's like, well, you know, I mean, Pringle and I have both hung out with Catherine independently. And then Danny starts pulling her own hair. You know that thing? He's like pulling at her own hair. And he's like, you know, she always says the right things. And I'm just trying to weigh it. It's like, Mom, here's the thing. I've hit my breaking point. And like, she says she wants to fight for the relationship, but there's no fighting. So, like, hold it together. You're going to crash your car into somebody.
Yeah, I know. Please, Danny, you make me so nervous when you drive and cry at the same time. Speaking of Catherine, we now go over to her townhouse where she's sitting with like her big iPad thing and and she's like in a pink blazer and she's like and she just like snaps off a tag from it that's just been on it for who knows how long. And then opening a soda can with her teeth, which I would never do. My teeth are too precious.
Yeah, that's hideous. But it is a good thing about veneers, I guess. So then it's like you just want to show that shit off. Like, I paid for these teeth.
Yeah.
I'm gonna open a Coke. But you always wonder, like, how people with, like, those huge nails really do it, you know, especially if they're press-ons. And I guess that's how. Your teeth. Welcome to the South. So her friend Jackie calls, and I did not even Google to see how problematic this friend was. I was like, was this the Trump parade, the Trump boat parade lady? I don't know.
I was like, I can't be bothered. I can't be bothered to, maybe that's my white privilege. I don't know. But I in this case, I was like, I just can't. I can't expand this universe right now.
I have enough rage about the real world at the moment. So Catherine is online shopping for baby stuff, right? So this girl calls and Catherine's like,
I'm shopping for a baby because I found an article online, that says the baby was born like a month ago, y'all. And am I like related to this child in some way? Like, I'm like it's like stepmother or something, right?
Yeah, and Jackie's like, well, maybe you can buy a card that says, nice to meet you on baby mama number one. hey, how's that party?
If you're not first, you're last.
I was like, okay, sure.
And she's like, yeah, so, yeah, tell me about the party. And Catherine's like, it turned into a catastrophe. I don't feel like I've been standing up for myself or, like, talking my perspective, you know. I'm so misunderstood, and, like, my friends are seeing me as someone I'm not, or, like, making me out to be someone, or, like, I can't fit that phrase on a onesie. Can you make that a smaller phrase?
The only person who truly deserves an apology is the woman I sent the emoji to, and she got one, and it was a sincere apology. But I'm getting death threats, and I need my friends, and none of them stood up and said, Catherine's not an racist. I feel super betrayed. I'm like, well, actually, I don't think that woman is the only one who needs an apology. And, you know, it would go a long way. Rather than your friend standing up for you, maybe you follow through with actions. Maybe speaking out about, you know, like your great-great-great-grandfather and saying how you support this statue being taken down. And I don't know, just like some things like that. That might help a lot.
Yeah, lots of opportunities there that you're missing while you're like, opening cokes with your teeth.
Exactly. Like, and maybe if you do that, then maybe your friends would be more willing to be more public and supporting you, because they would actually feel that coming from you, and then they could speak to your character. But if you don't do stuff like that, and you just want them to do it for you, and then that's probably not going to happen then.
Yeah. So romantic music as Craig and Natalie row in a swamp. And he's like, you're doing great. Like, this is crazy. This is where they filmed The Notebook. God, just reenacting all these movies we watched in quarantine has been really cool.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, I love that movie about two people who fall in love in rowboats and then they die. I love that movie.
I was thinking you should watch some 9 to 5 while you're in quarantine. Okay.
The entire time I was just thinking, sha la 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 la, kiss the girl. Oh. I just like was looking for Sebastian somewhere in the grove. I was like, please kiss her so that way Natalie can get her voice.
So there's a gator in there. And you know, she's like, creepy as fuck. Yeah. It's probably Cooper. You know that it's Cooper. Like, I can't wait to go invite them to my ball, which features men with women only.
The Gator Ball. Yeah, so Craig he's, you know, he just loves Natalie, and he's like, I feel like a teenager again after playing house with Natalie, and it also helps that I never really advanced beyond teenager mindset, so that makes me feel like a teenager too.
A new woman with new walls to stab. So romantic. And then, of course,
he's like, I haven't said I love you yet, but this could be the one. Hey, I'm glad we brought snacks.
And he's like, I brought you some Harrod Covert. Okay. Some very coat ham. And she's like, yeah, you know, this is the best way to get to know someone, a global pandemic.
And she's like saying how like the pandemic is really good about priorities. You learn about priorities or whatever in your life. And Craig's like, well, what are your priorities? And she's like, eating lots of cheese and meat with you.
He says that one thing he's promised is that he wouldn't hide things from Natalie, and like living together, he can't. And he's like, you know, she's like glad I sew, and she's glad I cook, unlike some people. And then we cut to Naomi at that party being like, it's just you sitting at home all day with your stupid sewing.
What's wrong with my sewing?
And they kind of do Naomi dirty there, because they make it seem like Craig was just this artist that she like, you know, was like, fuck you. But it's like, no, Craig was saying that he was going to be a lawyer and at home studying for the bar and all this and that. And he's just at home like sewing these random pillows. So like, yeah, she had a right to be mad. I'm working myself up. I'm just making myself mad for the fun of it now.
Yeah.
Picking up old arguments from last season.
Well, so then we go to Danny and Leva shopping for an outfit for this redneck party. And Danny's like, Shep said he wants it to be rednecky. And Leva's like, what is that even? Okay. All right. Here's how we're going to do this. Put your bags down. Go back to front. I have a method. Okay.
Swarm. Yeah, that she has like a whole method for how they're going to like divide and conquer the store while still being socially distanced. And so they're like, they're on their own different like racks that they're looking at from across the store. And Danny is talking about how like nothing was resolved with Catherine and Craig just added to it. And Leva's like, yeah, I just don't know what it is with Craig that he treats Catherine with velvet gloves or satin. What is it? Satin gloves, velvet gloves, satin, velvet, velvet, satin gloves. What sort of gloves is it? And now I know what all of our listeners are like when we're like Terry Savalas, because I was like, kid gloves, kid gloves.
Also, we know that Craig ain't wearing gloves.
That's true.
She's like, yeah, and I was just saying, I don't appreciate you yelling. Wait, we are not social distance. Go back over there. And he's like, are you serious?
I thought it was okay to come to this rack. You're so bossy.
So she says, are you going to address anything at this party, Danny? And Danny's like, oh, I feel like I don't owe anybody any of my time. She's like, well, I got a call from Jackie, and Jackie said that, like, I'm convincing Danny and Madison to hate Catherine. And Danny's like, classic Catherine, calling you and not me.
Yeah, pretty much. But she's actually, yeah, she's basically like, well, this is classic Catherine because she's looking deep. She's not looking deep and trying to, you know, find out why we're upset. And so Danny is like, when I think of all the insane things that I've done to be there for Catherine, a remark like that is like a fuck you, because she could have called me and said it to my face and she didn't. And I've been there for her to call me and say fuck you to my face. Okay.
And Leva says, yeah, it took every ounce of humanity I had to just sit there and be gracious with that girl. And now she's spinning this narrative that I'm bullying her and you're bullying her. And she's like, oh, you know, well, what's up with them yelling at you? And she's like, yeah, I wanted to say to the guys, like, why are you coddling this girl? She said something so viciously racist to somebody. Like, either you don't know what happened, or I don't know. I just have
to. You just don't care. Yeah. It's like, that's what it was. It was like a dot, dot, dot. She basically is like, you know what happened. Either you don't know what happened or you're like uninformed, like you don't care to know. She sort of dot, 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 dotted herself, you know? So then we go over to the main dot, dot, dot of this cast, Austin. He's watering plants outside. Wow. It's hotter than the devil's taint out here, Madison. God, it's so hot. I'm going to call my best friend, Alexandra. Hey, Alexandra, it's hotter than the. Switching it up, the Dickens, okay? What do you like more, Dickens or Devil's Taint, Alexandra? Seriously, it's insane right now.
And she's like, well, my roommate keeps it really cold, so I have to wear a sweater. My roommate is my mom. So they start talking about how he was uninvited to his own birthday. And he's like, yeah, let that sink in.
Like, here's a soundtrack for it to sink in.
He's like, I'm making icing with my tongue. Hold on.
So then he's like, I decided to go anyway, and I got attacked with shots and jabs, and she was being mean. I'm like, that's because you went to a party you were uninvited to, so you got jabs. That's why. That's how that works.
She's like, you deserve to be happy, and you know, I just I can't continue for you to be this guy who never sticks up for himself. Like, it's a blessing when people show you their true colors. It's like, okay, we all have that Maya Angelou friend, you know? It's like, no matter what you say, it's like, I totally got screwed over at the post office today. You're lucky when people show you their true colors. Yeah, but she was mean to me. People tell you who they are in the first 5 minutes. Like, oh god.
So yeah, she's basically like, you need to take back control of the situation. And Austin's like, yeah, I told myself you're not going to bite at this bait. You're not going to bite at this bait. I'm like, you literally went to the party. You bit the bait as big as you could have.
Yeah, you jumped into the fishing pond. So Austin's like, yeah, you know, she just proved about how little I mean to her. And I can't take it. And it's time for me to find my own happiness.
And then we go to commercial, and the commercial, one of the commercials that comes up is this wretched Justin Bieber commercial. I don't know what it was for, but it's featuring Justin Bieber. And this is like the perfect commercial for Southern Charm, because Justin Bieber has this song out that he's been singing. He sang it on SNL, and then like every music award, any award show, he's been singing it. I don't know if you've heard it, but he sings this stupid song where he goes, I'm so low, 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 lonely. low,
low,
you know, and it's
so low, 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 lonely.
And it's, and the lyrics are about how, like, he's made mistakes and he's lonely because people won't forgive him and as if, like, why should we forgive him or why should we even care that you, Justin Bieber, who has been given like 4, 5, 6 chances, you're still relevant now. You're still singing songs in SNL when you can't even carry a tune because your whole thing was wrapped up in you being a little kid who could sing. And now you're like, hey, you sing like this, but you still get chance after chance after chance. And you want us to feel bad for you? I was like, you are perfect for Southern Charm. Thank you for this
commercial. What did Justin Bieber do? I don't remember.
He was obnoxious. He was he did all sorts of obnoxious things. And of course people are allowed to be forgiven, but this wallowing in self-pity. Remember he would like spat on his neighbor. He had a spitting phase. He just was generally awful. And it came a point where it looked like he was just going to be basically done. And then he had this like performance at the VMAs in like 2015 where everyone was like, "Justin Bieber's back," which is fine, you know. Everyone likes a comeback story, but I just think it's like funny, this like extremely, extremely wealthy dude that's like wealth that's built off of basically a marketing machine. And yeah, I mean, he has some catchy songs. I will never discredit that because, you know, I love me some poorly sung catchy songs, right? But I just feel like what I don't need from him though is like, it's like we made a pact. It's like, okay, you can do your catchy songs. You don't have to sing them well. We'll buy the, you know, the MP3s or download them or whatever. But then I don't need you to come back and be like, "Oh, I'm lonely. Oh, like no one likes me. Oh." I'm like, "You have been given a lot of opportunities." And I want to thank this podcast for letting me finally get to air that rant, cuz I've been sitting on it for about 3 months. Thank you, everyone.
Wow. Not a believer, yeah. Apparently.
Not noted. A believer.
Actually, the reason I get annoyed with that commercial is because it's for like fun products. It's like Samsung Galaxy phone. It's like all these people on their phone and it's like, "I'm so lonely." And I was like, "No, I'm not. Stop judging me. I'm perfectly fine over here on my phone." And it's like, "No, you're not. You're lonely." It's like, "Go outside, get off of your phone." "No, I'm not going outside or I'll die." Okay. You fucking stupid commercial.
And I want to make an asterisk that like, rich people, people who are rich, people who succeed, people who do well in this life are allowed to be lonely. And that's, I don't take that away. I just feel like it's a cynical, the cynical side of me is like, "Oh, he's doing this lonely thing," as if like, you know, he's so sad and lonely and misunderstood when he's like writing that to the bank and like licensing out his loneliness for these commercials and using it on all these different platforms or whatever. I just am like, okay, please. Please.
Well, who do you think really feels lonely, Justin? You or Austin, who is at home trying to figure out his hair dryer still?
Or me projecting it onto Justin Bieber. No, Austin is the loneliest here because you're right. His hair dryer has abandoned him.
Yeah, I inserted the hair dryer at the wrong time. Now the hair dryer fun begins. So Madison's steaming stuff, but Austin still can't get his hair dryer working. But Pringle's doing mouthwash, but Austin still can't figure out his hair dryer.
And he goes, "My hair is going to be soaking wet." He's just like, he just reserves the same level of like petulance for Madison as like his wet hair. I just like everything is like at that same level. My hair's been soaking wet right now.
The dry cleaner pokes at me and pokes at me. So Leva is at home going, "Cover the mustache, cover the mustache. You've got to cover the mustache," which as a Leb, you know, I totally get. And then Shep is checking out. He's checking himself out in the mirror and like getting on the scale. And it's 222. He's like, "You idiot."
Gosh. So now we go over to this place on John's Island and it's rainy, but it's sunny. And Shep gets out of the car and he's like, "Oh, it's always weird when the sun is shining and it's raining. That doesn't make much sense. Oh, witticism."
I'm educated. So they start cleaning up everything with the party planner people. And Pringle's like, "You know, when my kids leave, I act out." And Shep's like, "Oh, so the break room didn't work? Well, I guess I get an A for effort."
Gosh, I'm so low, 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 lonely, gosh.
So Madison's house, she's doing her makeup with the ring light with some paper over the ring light to filter it. And Vanita comes over and they're like, "You're pretty. No, you're pretty. Uh-uh, you're pretty. Nah, you're pretty."
So yeah, so they're getting made up, and Madison, her whole thing is that she wants to wear wedges to see Austin's face drop, because I guess he loves a wedge, Madison. So really great to see. Moving forward by playing mind games with this guy.
Yeah, Austin's got a wedge fetish, I guess. So she's like, "Last time we talked, we were like, you want to be friends? Well, let's just see how it goes. You know, I don't want to talk about relationships."
Vanita's like, "You know, you want to walk in wedges so his jaw will drop, but you don't want to talk about relationships
here." Yeah.
Okay, you know what? Stop trying to make sense, okay?
Yeah, Vanita's just as annoyed about the situation as we all are, clearly. So so then they start talking about Catherine, because an article came out that Catherine is dating Shaleb, also known as Caleb Ravenel. And they're basically just, the article is saying, like, this relationship was planned and plotted, you know, and they're just kind of like, yeah, gah, kind of feels that way. Kind of feels very intentional, you know?
Yeah. So then Madison puts on like a sexy little fringe skirt thing around her bathing suit. And he's just like, "So you're not trying to get back, Austin?" Okay.
Yeah.
So we go back to the house and Chef's like, "I wonder where Taylor is. Gosh, I hope we're wearing matching swimsuits."
Yeah. Gosh, because we got those matching towels. Gosh. So they're just talking about, like, you know, is he in love with her? Does he say I love you? And he's like, "Not often." And Pringle's like, "Well, are you going to get her for Christmas?" He's like, "Gosh, that's so far away. Gosh, well, you got to show him you care about her." She's like, "Gosh, gosh, lonely, gosh.
Lonely." He's like, "Well, you know, you got to think about how to make a woman happy." And he's like, "I'm not that kind of guy."
Yeah.
So then Leva comes over and let's see, Pringle, you know, everybody starts arriving, basically. And Shep is like, "You know, I just wanted to warn you, you know, I'm a Mr. Invite Everyone sort of a guy." And she's like, "Yeah, I heard. Danny told me you invited Catherine." He's like, "Well, it's not as a slap in anyone's face or anything." And she's like, "Listen, I flipped out on the boat because I don't like Austin butting his fucking head into everything that doesn't have to do with him. And then my stuff with Catherine is that the stuff she said online, you know, it's disappointing. And the boys are sitting there coddling her. And of everybody, you're the one who's not supposed to be coddling people. You're Mr. like, call everybody out all the time."
Yeah, exactly. And she's like, I don't believe in cancel culture. There's no growth in that. But it bothers me that Catherine's not being held accountable," which I think is a great way to state so many things. And so Shep is, he's like, "Well, gosh, you don't ruin someone for a mistake. I mean, gosh, you know, I made mistakes." And they're like, cue the video of Shep making fun of a homeless person.
Yeah.
And then he's like, "Oh, you have to allow someone to change, okay? Gosh, I'm not judge, gosh, jury, gosh, or executioner, gosh.
Gosh, gosh. But you know what? I just don't expect anything from her. And that's, you know, I hope she changes her ways, but that's up to her, basically." So then Craig comes and Pringle's like, "Well, you know, I just have to have this party because I wanted to do something that takes my mind off my kids being gone, you know?"
Yeah.
And he's like, "So you invited your friends who were like kids? Ha, ha, ha." I'm the male Martha. That was a male Martha Stewart joke, so.
Yeah, Martha Stewart could never make a joke like that. So Shep is like, still talking with Leva, and he's like, I'm the kind of person that if you want to hang out with me, gosh, let's do it, you know? If you want to hang out, does anyone want to hang out with me? Anyone? I'm lonely. No? No one? Okay. Oh, man. I just want to keep my mouth shut about all this. That's all. And Leva's like, "But you're okay with that?" And he's like, "I mean, I don't know what she said, and I just don't want to have bad blood with anyone. I don't. And she's basically like, "Well, this is the definition of white privilege. It doesn't affect you, so you're just going to party instead." He's like, "Gosh, yeah, let's do it."
Good idea. So she's like, "All right, look, let's talk with all the boys about the full picture, because
they probably don't even know what happened. And I expect you to hold people accountable, Shap. And he's like, well, you know, I'm trying to get out of the accountability game. Haven't you heard? I'm good, Shap, now. I have a girlfriend and a dog.
The only thing I can be accountable for is a matching towel with Taylor, gosh.
So then Madison comes and she drives her up and she's like,
oh, yes, Pringle, if only he lived here.
And then she trips in her wedges, which is kind of funny. She's like,
a real wedge issue.
Sexy wedges. And then she trips.
Yeah.
So Madison comes up and says hi to Pringle and they give him a big floaty thing that they got him. And
just to make him sweat a little bit more because he wasn't sweating enough at this party. They're like, here, now do some manual labor.
Yeah, and so she hugs Shep and stuff, and Shep's like, is Austin coming? Shep,
I don't know. I haven't talked to him today. He's like, whoa, that's a good first step. High five!
High five, and his hand comes in like a trebuchet, just like, and she's like, ow! So then Danny and Gwyn's show up, and then Craig's like, I think Danny's still mad at me. I'm going to go over and give her a big hug and be like, cool. So here I go. Hey, Danny, I'm sorry about the other day. I'm just going to come in and hug you right now. This will work, right, Danny? Right?
She's like,
right?
Craig. No, Craig, no. I mean, I don't even know what Craig I'm getting right now, Craig.
He's like, wow. All right. Well, usually the smile works. So,
wow. What happened to my hot privilege?
Let's see. So Jenny's sister is there and Madison comes and she's introduced to Jenny. And so they hug and then Austin pulls up and he's walking in while Pringle is telling Madison. He's like, you know, my kid said their favorite thing was hitting baseballs with you and Hudson. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Austin comes in. Why is nobody in the pool?
It's insane. It's so hot right now. It's hotter than the Dickens and the Devil's Taint. And no one's even in the pool. It's insane right now. Non-Madison, because Madison's not here. I don't see Madison. Hi, Pringle. Hi, Jenny. Hi to anyone in this space except for Madison. Hi.
And then they're walking away and he goes, whoa, you know what, Pringle? I didn't say hi to your sister. You know what? I'm going to go back and say, I miss somebody. I'm going to go back. So he goes back and he's like, Jenny, I'm so sorry I didn't say hi, and still ignores Madison.
My gut instinct was to say, this is so immature. But then I remembered Madison's wearing this outfit specifically to get his attention. And he is basically calling her bluff and saying, okay, you're going to wear something to get my attention, so I'm specifically not going to give you my attention. And it reiterates what you were saying. They're awful.
The
awful couple.
Do not compliment the wedges. Do not compliment the wedges.
It's hotter than the wedges out here. Oh, damn it. I said the wedges.
Damn it, I fell into it. And she's like,
Austin with his big dick energy is kind of comical because he can't do that.
And yet she was the one who winds up going back to him and be like, why'd you talk to me? So
yeah.
So then
she's like, Austin, what's up with you? You know, you coming in like, hi bro, I got beer, bro.
And he's like, does anything piss you off more than not getting all the attention in the room? And then she just walks off and he goes, girl.
It's insane right now, those wedges. So Leva is then now talking, and she's talking about how she, you know, she didn't appreciate Austin's demeaning bullshit last week, and she's saying how, like, he thinks he's chivalrous, but it's really his chauvinism that's showing.
Oh, when he was yelling? Yeah, that was a pretty intimidating ferry ride, and I love ferry rides. They did it in a movie that... that I watched with Natalie actually. It was very romantic. It was very working girl, you know, super romantic. So love was like,
Natalie and I are watching all movies that have boys and girls that are on boats and reenacting them.
So love was like, yeah, well, I terrified Pringle. He's like, terrified me how? By yelling. Oh, I love your yelling. She's like, yeah, but you know, it's like they're trying to be chivalrous, but it's demeaning, you know, like, why do you need to be Catherine's protector right now? And Pringle jumps in. He's like, well, I will say, when I saw Catherine on Capers, it's so funny. It's like the new drug in town, Capers. Like, they just discovered Capers. And they're just fucking addicted.
You on Capers? You got any Capers?
Yeah, well, I saw Catherine on Capers, you know. She looked like a deer in the headlights, or a deer on Capers, frankly. Because you guys were just, you know, you guys were just coming after her. And Vanita's like, yeah, but she still hasn't apologized.
But,
and
Levitt says, also, I wasn't. I'm sorry to interrupt, but also I love he's like, yeah, it's three girls on one. That was really intense. As opposed to, like, the 2 to 3 guys on Leva. Like, but that's not intense. That's like a course correction. Please.
So then we get a clip of all that stuff. And then Pringle's like, you know what? Coming at somebody right or wrong, I don't think you're going to get the response you want that way. You know? And he says that she was just in a corner and all alone. And she's like, you guys, are you even aware of what she said online?
Yeah.
You guys are ridiculous. And Craig goes, oh, the emoji. It was weird. Like, that, you know, a like
situation.
Like a monkey that can't hear. That's crazy.
Yeah. Because monkeys can hear really well. I don't know if you know that. They should have an emoji that shows a monkey hearing something far away, because that's more accurate to life.
A monkey listening to lonely.
All right, shut up.
That monkey's so low, 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 lonely.
And Liv is like, listen, it's not just about a stupid emoji, okay? She said your minority platform is irrelevant here. And then we see the tweet that says, stop using Charleston and your minority claim is a platform to harass people. And Liv is like, and what you are makes Charleston horrible.
And Vanita's like, she even had the nerve to say, do you know who your father is? And they're like,
oh my God. Oh my God. Craig's this is like, so cringy. Oh it's my so cringy. God.
But again, I really applaud the show that they are like, they're really just like, they're like, we are going to force, we're going to make sure this is addressed and addressed by everyone.
My God.
And Craig's like, I'm just blown away. I'm glad Leva is telling me this. It makes a lot more sense. It's like, Craig, I'm glad your eyes are open now, but like, you know, she's accessing the same information that you could have accessed, you know? And he's like, I didn't understand everything at the beach, but this is bad.
And he's like, usually I'm a protector of hers, but like, God, you can't make excuses for this. I mean, what you just said makes you doubt her intent, because like, maybe you did mean it that way, you know? It's like, ugh.
All this time, I just thought Catherine was feeling so low, low, low. How's it go?
Me too. You want to go to a rec room? So, yeah, this is really, geez, hearing that part. I don't even remember. I didn't even remember that part. And we've read the comments. We've read all that stuff on this show. I looked it all up. I got obsessed with it when it came out. I was like, oh, no, she did not. But I don't remember. Like, do you even know who your father is? I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean, I will say I actually don't. I remember when it came out and I was like, this is bad. I don't think I fully processed really, you know, all the like all those things, just like you said, which is kind of funny because I'm making fun of Craig being like, oh, Craig, you could have read it. But it's but at the same time, I also was like sort of seeing this back on the show. I'm like, oh, shit. And that's, I think, actually a service of the show. I think it's important, you know, to be like, no, this wasn't just like an inconvenient faux pas that happened and will be addressed in one episode. It's like, no, we are talking about it and we're giving voice to those who were affected by it. And we're just going to keep. Like, this is a thing that's happening. And so, like, I like that. I like being stopped in our tracks a little bit.
Yeah. And so next week, it's the Confronting Catherine. They're like, coming next week to be continued. And then you see Catherine walking in super slowly, like, So it'll be interesting to see how this one ends.
The Ermatic finale.
Yeah, the very dramatic finale of Southern Charm. But until then, go to watchwhatcrappins.com to find links to vote for the Crappies and also ticket links to buy tickets for the Crappies. We're so excited. It's less than a week away. It's going to be huge, huge.
Huge, huge. Yeah, everyone have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Bye. We love you guys.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay.
She's a little bit loony.
Junie.
She's always supplying. It's Kelly Ryan.
Higher than high res. She's Lauren Perez.
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nicky Morgan lettuce.
He makes us squee. Richie D.
There ain't no problem that Sarah Salvia can't solve ya.
The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Nancy, cease and desisto.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Let's give them a kissa. It's Austin and Marissa.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Erica, 500 days of summers.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender.
No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
Sarah Greenwood, she only uses her power for good.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Shannon, out of a can, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Couture. We love you guys.